Amen. You know, this morning I got a text. I actually sent someone a text message this morning to encourage them. And they sent me back a message saying that they were doing well and they're resting in the Lord. And they said to me, thanks for being a woman of God. And, you know, you read these things and, you know, you really don't feel the weight in that at times when you read them in a text message. And then when I came into the house this morning, one of the elders said to me also, I feel to say this to you, and I feel that the Lord wants you to know that you are a woman of God. And it was just confirmation, you know, off the back of the text message and then the word then being spoken. And I just wanted to declare it into this atmosphere here this morning. I'm an elder in this house. I was called by God to be an overseer, a woman that would look after the people in this house. And I wanted to declare that I am a woman of God in the house this morning. And you know what? I just want to thank everybody here in the house this morning. And I just want to thank you as a church, you know, for coming here, for being here, and, you know, for being part of this family, because that's what it's all about. We are a family in God in this house. And you know what? We're going to get into God's word. But just before we get into the word, just off the back of what Eddie said about Jason Upton, those 100 tickets are over the four locations. So if you don't have money with you today and you're in Clondalkin later or whatever, you can get the tickets there. Is that all right? Good stuff. Okay. And we're just going to get into the... Amen. It's good to see the brightness in the mornings, isn't it? There's a shift in the weather, which is great. And I believe there's going to be a shift in the house today. So, Father, we come this morning, Lord God. And, Father, we declare that you are awesome. He's an awesome God that we serve. And his word is awesome. And this morning I bring your people before you, Lord God. And I say, speak to them, Lord. Let your word fall into their hearts, Lord God. Father, let it just reap within them, Father God. Let it not fall to the ground. And Father, we come and we protect your word this morning by the power of the blood of Jesus, Father God. Father, let every person in this house, Father, receive something from you today, Lord God. Father, I declare it in this atmosphere, Lord God, that no weapon fashioned against us will prosper in this house, Father, because we are the people of God in this house. And we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stephen, my husband, made reference to the four cups. And if you have missed any of that series or any of those teachings, please get onto the podcast. It's a great series about the four cups. And he made reference to Exodus 6, where God said, I will bring you out. I will bring you out. I will free you. I will redeem you. And I will be your God. This was God speaking to the nation of Israel. And off the back of this, I want to talk to us about the promises of God and the expansion in the kingdom and how we can expand into the promises of God for 2015. You see, I don't know about you, but I have been partial to making promises. And sometimes I've kept them and sometimes I haven't kept them. And you know when you promise your kids you're going to do something, you have to deliver, especially your kids. You have to deliver when you make a promise to your kids. But how often as people have we not delivered on promises? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we cop out. And sometimes life just happens and promises are not fulfilled. But the word of God declares that his promises are fulfilled. And in the word of God, the first promise was spelt out in Genesis 12. And it was spelt out to Abraham. And it talks in Abraham, I think the scripture is there in Genesis chapter 12. And it says, this is what God said to Abraham. He said, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. and I will curse those who curse you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All people. That's us here in this room today. Abraham walked and obeyed God. He fulfilled the promises of God. You see, he was able to fulfill the promises of God because he knew God. He was confident in knowing who his God was. And you know, I began to think about Abraham. You see, Abraham was given this promise. He was set up in his own hometown. But then he was so confident in God and what God had said to him that he got up and he left his hometown and he went to a new land where the promises of God would be fulfilled. And when he went to that new land, it meant that he had to leave old habits, old friends, and he had to leave them behind. And when he went to the new land, that's when God built a great nation. And it was a nation that came from Abraham's family line. You see, this was his future. And it was an even better future. And it was an even better promise for Abraham. And out of that same promise, we, the children of promise here today, get to inherit that. And that's the good news. And the good news is that the promise was that the Messiah would be the one that would set us free. It would be the Messiah would be the one that was our promise. You see, Abraham, off the back of that scripture that I just read, the Lord said to him, I will show you, I will give you the land. I will make you into a great nation. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed through you. So how certain are we as a people about the promises of God? Do we know the promises of God? And maybe God is leading you this year into a better place. Maybe he has sent somebody across your path to get your attention for 2015. And maybe God is speaking to you in a dream or a vision. You know, because he spoke to Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar with writings on the wall. That's our God that we serve. Maybe he is speaking to you through a picture or a writing on the wall. Or maybe he's speaking to you this morning through his word. And I believe what God is trying to say here today is that he has even greater promises for your future in the kingdom of God. But how certain are we? How certain are we of the promises of God? How certain are we in our relationship with God? And I want to turn to the book of Acts. And this is the scripture that I want us to zone in on. So you have your Bible. Turn with me to Acts 1. And we're going to pick it up in... Just let me see. Times like this, I need my glasses on. Okay. Yeah, so it's in Acts chapter 1, and we'll pick it up at number 6, line 6. Okay. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates or the season that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And in this portion of scripture, I just want us to get a glimpse of Acts. You know, in the book of Acts in the first chapter, after Jesus had gone to the cross, after he had gone to the cross, and then he was put in the grave. And for 3 days after that, he rose from the grave. And in the book of Acts, we get a glimpse of Jesus returning back to the disciples. And he returned back to this community of believers. But in this portion of scripture also, we get a glimpse of the disciples and about their confusion about the kingdom of God. You see, in this part of the scripture, Jesus had appeared to the disciples over 40 days. And in that 40 days, he began to speak to them about God's truths. He began to speak to them about the promises of God. And I believe what he was doing was, he was standing in front of them with his resurrected body. And what he was presenting before the disciples and the community of believers was his resurrected body. This was the promise. This was the truth. When they looked at him, they seen his pierced hands. Thomas, doubting Thomas, went and put his finger in the hole in his hands. And you see, it says in Isaiah 53, when you go back through the Old Testament, and this was the words that were fulfilled in the Old Testament, that he would be like a lamb led to the slaughter. And the reason he was a lamb led to the slaughter, so that we would receive the Messiah here today. Because he went and he took all of our sins on the cross, so that we would be set free, so that we would be redeemed, so that we would be delivered, and so that we would know who our God is. And this is the promise, guys. And this is something that we have got to get excited about. We don't have to be a people that walk around heavy-hearted. But we are a people that are set free because God says, I will deliver you. I will set you free. I will be your God. This is the God that we serve. This is the promise. This is the ultimate promise. This is the ultimate prize. You don't get any better than this. But these guys, the disciples, they were confused about the kingdom. And I love the way they asked the question. And they said to Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And you see, the disciples in the natural believed, I think, that Jesus was going to come back and take from the Roman power back the Israel empire. That's what they believed. That he would restore the kingdom to Israel. So he would take it back off the Roman Empire. And he answers them and he says to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates or the season that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In their confusion, they didn't fully grasp the kingdom of God. And they continually wondered about his kingdom, when it would come, when it would be restored, and what would be their role in it. And I don't know about you, but like the disciples, I have pondered that same question. When is the kingdom of God going to be restored? When is it going to be restored in certain areas of my life? In certain areas in this country? When is the kingdom of God going to be restored? Because when we look around and we see the issues in society and we see darkness that comes into this land, we wonder, when is the kingdom of God going to be restored? Then there are times that we look at ourselves and we realize we might be growing, we might be developing as a Christian, but there are still many things within us that need to be changed. And there are still many things that the Lord needs to come and heal us of, redeem us of, deliver us from. It's a question that we ask, when is the kingdom of God going to be expanded in our lives? You see, we know that Christ has come. We know that he died on the cross, that he rose again from the grave. We know that he appeared to the disciples over a period of 40 days. We know that we are saved. But yet, there are places we would love to see the gospel being brought to. We would love to see the gospel being reached out into. There are people we would love to see in the kingdom of God where their lives are being transformed. We would love to see people being set free from addictions and other ailments. And yet we ask the question, when is the kingdom of God going to be expanded in this generation? And to understand the kingdom of God is to understand the King. To understand the kingdom of God is to understand the King. Everything revolves around knowing who Jesus is. Everything we pray for, everything we fast for, everything we hope for is to understand the nature and the character of Jesus. You see, the kingdom of God is the central message of the scriptures. It's the central message of Jesus' teachings. And what does it mean? It means new life for you and I here today. It means that we get to have new life on this side of eternity before we go to the other side. That we get to have new life while we live on this earth. That we get to have the kingdom of God living within us. It means that we get to be saved. We get to be set free. We get to be restored. And we get to know who our God is. But the big problem with understanding the kingdom is that we have an enemy. And we have an enemy that sabotages the character of God. And he will come and he will distort our thinking if we let him. You see, what he does is he offers counterfeit promises. He offers promises that he can't even fulfill. And it tells us in Genesis 3 that Satan came and he tempted Eve. And he tempted her by getting her to doubt the goodness of God. And because she doubted the goodness of God, she ate the fruit that she was forbidden to eat. You see, she thought she was going to be able to be like God. And you see, what the enemy does, he makes you forget that God has given you plentiful in this land. And that's what he did with Eve. He made her forget all that God had given her. And instead, focus on what God had forbidden her to eat. And he implied that God, you know, God was not a loving God, that God didn't care about her. And this is what he does with us. He makes us question God's word and God's goodness. He makes us look at our problems rather than focus on God. And he causes a division by making the wrong thing seem attractive in this land. And what he does, when he makes things look attractive in the world, he made you want to have more of that. And then he will come and he will make you feel like a failure so that you don't even try and walk in the promises of God. So that you don't live kingdom living. Because he taunts you and he tells you you're a failure. You're a failure. What good would God have for you in the kingdom? And sometimes we get caught up believing the lies. That there is no time for growth. That everything needs to happen right here, right now. That if I just pray enough, if I just fast enough, if I just read enough, if I work hard enough. And everything like that is based upon our own strength and our own power. And you see, we fall into trouble when we focus on what God forbids. Instead of focusing on the blessings and the promise. So the next time we feel sorry for ourselves and we don't have need to consider all that we have. The next time we feel sorry for ourselves and what we don't have, we need to consider all that we do have, all the blessings that we do have in God. And when we begin to change our thinking like that, we are not led astray then by the enemy. You see, the promise of God in Genesis 3:15, it declares that God promised that he would strike the head of the enemy, that he would be under our feet. And that's our promise, because the Messiah came back to sort him out. And that's the good news today. So for us, if God says we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, we will receive power, and we have got to believe that. We have got to believe in Acts 1a, when Jesus told the disciples to wait and not to leave, that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit. We as a people have got to believe that today. And when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, it says that he will guide us, that he will talk to us, that he will comfort us and direct us. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit, he is living within us. He's living within us today. When we allow him to take us by the hand, this is the way, walk in it. This is kingdom living. And when we allow him to speak to our heart, to cause us to be more loving, and to cause us to be more loving with people around us, and just in general with people in society. When we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, he makes us more brave. And he will cause us to reach out in ways that we never thought possible. This is kingdom living. This is the King living within us, and this is the promise of God. So if he says a thing, and if his word says a thing, that means that he's going to do it, and he's going to deliver on it. You see, we are living a life from above. That's what it is. We're living a life from above. That's why Jesus told the disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with the power from on high. Don't leave until you receive the promise that the Father spoke about. Don't leave without the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And when we are led by the Spirit, then we are kingdom living. When we are not being led by the Spirit, we're doing things in our own strength. We have got to trust in the Lord. And we are saying, Lord, you need to take me by the hand in every area of my life. Lead me, guide me, strengthen me. Help me to live this kingdom for you, Lord. Are you still with me? Amen. You know, stepping beyond and receiving the promises of God, that's what we've got to do. We've got to take hold of this kingdom living. And it's up to us as a people to step beyond. You see, God's fulfilling of the Holy Spirit led the disciples to step beyond and receive. And they received his person. They received him as a person. They received him with full power. And they went to the ends of the earth and brought the gospel. That's what they did. They became different people through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they reached out to nations. You know, nations that they didn't even want to go into. And it took the Lord to change them, to go into the likes of Samaria and to witness to the people there. And it's like Stephen brought a scripture this morning that Jesus said, you know, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail. I will build my church. That's what the Lord says. You know, when I started this message out this morning, I mentioned that God may be trying to lead you to a better place. A better place to receive his promise and an even greater promise for this year. You need to step beyond this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to disturb you if you're a comfortable Christian. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to come and to tap in and just disturb you a little bit. And maybe you have been listening to the lies of the enemy, telling you you're a failure, you'll mount up to nothing. Or he has made you question the goodness of God. Or he's made you question God's word. Or maybe you look at your problems rather than looking to God. Because maybe he's telling you, no, God doesn't care about you. And you focus on the problems instead of focusing on God. And if that's you this morning, you need to step beyond. You need to step beyond what the enemy has been telling you. And you need to receive by stepping out of that comfort zone, by stepping out of the taunts of the enemy. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the promises of God. And maybe you've been a Christian for a while and you're not seeing things moving in your life. You need to step beyond and receive what the Holy Spirit is going to do through you this year. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to grow you. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to develop you. And in order for that to happen, we need to surrender to some of the things that we hold on to, that we don't allow God have. And if you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to grow you, it's because he's not in you. And that's the bottom line. He's not in you if you're not grown. If you're not showing fruits, he's not in you. And maybe you need to step beyond and receive an expansion of his power for this year. Because if the Holy Spirit is in you, he will bear fruit in you. Because that's what he does. He will bear fruit in you. Maybe you need to step beyond and receive and allow the Holy Spirit to just give you that thirst again for the living water. Because maybe you've fallen in love with this world and the things that this world offers. And maybe you have stopped dreaming about eternity. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, sure, I'm a Christian. I can still live this wayward living. I'm still going to get to eternity. Why wait till we get to the other side? Why not have it on this side? Why not have the promises of God on this side and be fulfilled in the things of God this side? Why not be free, be delivered, be redeemed, and be set free? Why not know God on this side of eternity rather than wait till we get to the other side? Because believe you me, when we know him this side, we will know him that side, but we're going to live forever. So why not have him on this side of eternity? Because when we have him on this side, we can walk in the footsteps of God. We can do kingdom living on this side of eternity. Maybe God is saying to you today, turn and repent. Turn and repent from your wayward living. Turn and repent from your sins. Give me that sin. Give it to me. That keeps bounding you and keeps you in bondage. Give it to me. I can set you free. Just like when the Egyptians were taken out of Egypt, the Lord made them a promise. I will save you. I will redeem you. I will set you free. You see, God can set us apart here today. He blessed Abraham. He told Abraham, I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. You will bless others and others will bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is the promise of God. And this is for us for the taking today. That we can receive blessing after blessing from God our Father. You see, God says, I can give you the power of the Holy Spirit. He will direct you, comfort you, guide you, and he will talk with you. And why not let's cling to that promise? You see, if we put our hope in him for 2015, we're going to grow and we're going to expand. And I just want to open up the front. And I know it was probably a bit of a heavy message, but I want to open up the front because I believe the enemy has been taunting people in this house today. And I believe that he has been telling you that you are failures. And I believe that he has been telling you that God is not good. And I do believe that he's telling you that he doesn't care about you. And I believe that some have partnered with the enemy and his lies. And I believe God wants to break free in this today and set you free today. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. And we're going to open up the front. And you know what? As a community of believers, I think we need to pray with each other. As the family of God, I believe that we need to stand with each other and that we need to pray with each other. And if this is your first time and you're here for the first time and this is very new to you, please don't be fearful of what's going on here in the house today. I believe there are people here this morning that don't know Jesus, that don't know the King, that don't know how to do kingdom living. I believe that the Holy Spirit is not living through people here. And you know what? You can have him here this morning. You can have the Holy Spirit here this morning, who will help you live out this life on this side of eternity. So I'm just going to ask for every eye to be closed in the house. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus. If you don't know Jesus here today, I want to give you an opportunity to know this Jesus that I serve. 18 years ago, I was in a pit. I was in a pit. And the Lord took me out of that pit. And he set my feet firmly on a rock. And this is the awesome God that I serve. You know, the promises of God are, I will fulfill you. I will set you free. And if you don't know Jesus here in the house today, I wanted to invite Jesus to come into your heart. And it's a simple act. You know, all we do is we pray, and we pray as a church. But if you don't know Jesus, I'll ask you to slip up your hand. Because if you want this Jesus, he can set you free. He can set you free. He can redeem you. He can deliver you from whatever sin and bondage that's holding you back from walking in the things of God. So if you don't know Jesus here today, slip your hand up and we will pray. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Is there any more in the house? Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Don't leave here today. Don't leave here today without knowing who the Messiah is. Because the kingdom of God is the central scriptures and teachings of who Jesus is. That's the kingdom of God. Is there anybody else in the house? Anybody else in the house before we move on? Jesus. Okay, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to say the prayer. And we're going to welcome Jesus to come into those that put their hands up. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. I ask that you come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Redeem me. Set me free. Deliver me. And let me know who my God is. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done. And I thank you that I will spend eternity with you. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Let's welcome them in. Amen, amen. 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 And you know, you've said that prayer, and I will encourage you to get into a Bible study. You know, get in to knowing who God is. Get people around you that will walk this journey with you. They will help you in this journey. Because that's how we've all survived on this journey. So welcome in, brothers. Amen. Amen. And I'm just going to ask everybody to stand. And if the enemy has been speaking lies to you, I want to invite you to come to the front. If the enemy has been speaking lies that God is not good, that you're a failure, that you'll never mount up, that you will never have the promises of God, come to the front. Come and we will pray. As a community of believers, as a family of God, we will stand with you. And I just ask all the prayer team to come and the elders and to stand with people. God says, I will bless you. I will bless you. You will be my people. You will be my people. I will redeem you. I will set you free. I will set you apart. Because the days of the enemy are running short. They're running short. He's running scared, folks. He's running scared. Because our God is awesome. Our God is bigger. So we're going to enter into the time of worship. And just come. Come and we'll pray. Come. Don't leave this place today. Father, we thank you. Jesus, thank you, Lord.